Welcome to The Journey, Season 2. This is to help you on your journey with Jesus. If you've not yet accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, please see The Journey, Season 1. That's The Journey to Jesus. How do I get saved? This is, I've received Jesus as my Savior. Now what? Recently, my cousin's family adopted a son into their home. And it's such a wonderful thing to see that take place, or to hear of that taking place, to think that a child that didn't have parents for whatever reason, now legally by the authority of the court, brought into a family, given a mom and dad, given siblings, given that care and nurture of a home that that child needs. You know, when we got saved, God brought us legally into his family. John 1 verse 12 says, "But as many as received him," Jesus, "to them gave he power." That's that authority that the court has exercised. "To them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." If there's been a point of time in your life where you personally put your faith in Jesus Christ, in his death, in his resurrection, and asked God to take Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, as you took Jesus Christ into your heart, received him, God gave you that privilege of being his child. Romans 8:14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." That Greek words translated Abba, Father, are like the word daddy. It's that very personal term of endearment for a father. "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." And that's a wonderful privilege that God has given to us. And with that privilege comes some new privileges as a child of God. And I want to just share a few of those with you. The first, that is, that relationship means that our Heavenly Father will listen to us because we are related to him. Matthew 7:11 says, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children." And it's Jesus speaking. He's trying to encourage those that are listening in the ability that God the Father has to perceive their need, understand their need. And when they go to their father and say, "I've got a need," that God will answer. He's used the example of an earthly father that when somebody asks for bread, he gives them bread. When he asks for fish, he gives them fish. He doesn't give them a stone or a serpent. And then he says, "If ye being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him?" You know, God stands ready to meet our needs. But if I could illustrate a truth this way, if a neighbor kid came up to me and said, "You know, Dad, can I borrow 10 pounds? I would look at him and I think, well, you know, maybe you're kind of a cute kid. And so here's 10 pounds out of the generosity and kindness of my heart. But if my son came up to me and said, "Dad, I need 10 pounds," as a son, I'm obligated as a father to meet that need. Praise God. When we got saved, God became obligated to us as his children because of that relationship to listen to us as we pray. And then the second thing is fellowship. We have relationship. God listens to us. But then fellowship, and that is that your Heavenly Father wants to meet your needs. He wants to provide for your needs. 1 Peter 3:12 says, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." Those that are righteous have received Jesus Christ as their Savior. That is the only way to be a righteous person. And God is observing that person that is righteous with concern, but his face is against them that do evil. Now, as a child of God, having been forgiven of my sins, I can still sin and trespass against God. When I do that, that does not break relationship. I'm always the son of God, but that sin breaks fellowship. Just like if my son disobeyed me and was hard against me and wouldn't respond to me and get right with me, that son wouldn't feel comfortable coming to me and say, "Dad, I have a need. Can I please, I have 10 pounds. It'd have to first come to me and say, "Dad, I'm sorry. Will you please forgive me?" I want to get that relationship, fellowship, settled and right, so that this thing is good. And then, Dad, I've got needs that need to be met. And it's the same with us and God. That relationship is there, but the term, as we think about relationship, we often are speaking about fellowship. And that fellowship with God can be broken by sin, and so we have to get that right, because God desires to meet our needs, and He will if our heart is right with Him. So we have relationship. God will hear us when we pray. Fellowship, He wants to meet our needs, and will do so if we're right with Him. But then there's also the aspect of discipline. Your Heavenly Father will protect you with discipline. Hebrews 12, verse 6 and 7 says, "For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. If ye endure chastening," that's discipline, "God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not?" And God says this to a man that thinks, "I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, God is my Father." If that man can continue in sin, having professed faith in Christ, without the discipline and the correction of God, then the Bible says that that is not the Son of God. A Son of God is somebody that, in that relationship with God, God has said, "I will discipline them out of love." And it is love when God disciplines us. My sister, when she was really little, she got in some disobedience with my mom, and she was out with her little friend, and mom called her in, and mom disciplined her, and Rachel went outside, and she had some sniffles because she had been disciplined, and this little friend said, "Your mommy doesn't love you, does she?" And Rachel said, "No, she doesn't," but the window was open, and my mom heard, and Rachel went back in and got a little bit more discipline. You know, Satan is the one that says to us, "Look, God doesn't love you. He doesn't care about you because He disciplines you." But the thing is, sin is hurtful. Sin leads to death. Sin is what put Christ on the cross. And God, in His love for us, will discipline us. You know, adoption is a wonderful privilege, to give a child a family. You know, God will adopt you today if you'll receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And if you've already done that, God has given you some wonderful privileges. He's given you relationship, fellowship, and discipline, because He is your Heavenly Father.